Hi, I'm Eric, also known as Trekkie B47, from the Ranger Command Power Hour and the Starfleet Escape Podcast. You're listening to another great Four-Eyed Radio product. For more shows, check out foureyedradio.com. It's Morphin' Time!
Wallopin' web snappers! My spider sense is tingling.
Anybody else's spider sense tingling?
Welcome to Walloping Web Snappers, a Spider-Man podcast where we dive into every Spider-Man cartoon ever made. I'm Doug.
And I'm Derek.
And is your spider sense tingling?
Vampire sneeze. I got a vampire sneeze.
Oh no. To listen to the show, find us on 4EyedRadio.com and wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is brought to you by Revenge Lover Designs, illustration and design that fit your personality. For samples and inquiries, visit RevengeLover.com. And of course, we'd like to take a quick moment to thank our spectacular tier patrons, Bo, Carl, Eric, Katie, Jason, and David. Thank you.
Thank you. Promise to never make give any of you the flu.
Oh my gosh. Derek.
I know.
Derek! Yeah. This episode that we're going to talk about today, which is an episode of Ultimate Spider-Man, it's just very polar opposite feelings both existing inside of me, because folks who have listened to me talk about every episode of Spider-Man that we've covered so far will have picked up on something, and that is that I really dislike, for some reason that I cannot fully explain, not even just because it's like gross, but like I hate when like voice actors have to pretend to be sick in a cartoon. I don't enjoy it. I think it's so annoying.
Yeah.
And so when the episode starts that way, I was like, fuck, we're getting another. And like almost every show we've covered that lasts for a long time does this. And it comes from the comics. Like, he gets sick. But like, I just don't like it. I just don't like it. Luckily, this episode ends fucking cool as hell. So like, it gets to where I need it to go, but unfortunately, he is sick through the whole episode.
He's sick through the whole thing. They do a lot of like mucus and snot jokes and
that's
like, gross out humor stuff that I'm
at least
into.
A thing I can point to say, like, you all agree, right? This is gross.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
But I recognize that it's, I don't know why it's so specific that I can't stand. It just annoys me.
No, I get it. It is just, it's not.
It never sounds real. I'm so sorry, voice actors, but like, you just can't emulate that.
Yeah, I think Notorious Child Predator Drake Bell does his best. He's one of the better versions of it that I've heard, but it's still not fun to listen to.
I think that's what it boils down to. Like, it's not a fun thing to listen to someone pretend to be stuffed up.
Yeah. It's not. It's not pleasant to hear.
It's not.
I would rather. Yeah.
There's your booger humor, everybody.
Honestly,
I've done it.
Yeah, well, you got to do it about 10,000 more times to, you know, be on the level of this episode. I think like it's the kind of thing where like I don't know that it's really necessary. Like,
it doesn't factor into the plot of this episode very much.
No, I don't even mean that. I don't even mean that.
But sometimes it does. It's the only reason I bring it up.
I don't mean that. I mean that you can have a character be sick without making them sound like fully stopped up nasally. Like, I think, and you can buy it. Like, I don't think you need that, you know?
I think I made this point on a previous episode where we talked about this. I think you can establish it by doing that and then just stop doing it and no one will care or notice.
Right, yeah.
You can just continue to reference it without pretending to be stuffed up. I don't know why this bothers me so much. Please, anybody who like has the same specific like strong irritation I have of like making voice actors pretend they're sick, please let me know so I don't feel absolutely, you know, outside of my mind.
Yeah.
It just really sends me. I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, you know, whatever. It's a sound thing. I get it. It's just, I don't need the gross out humor in that regard either. I think that's, I could have dealt with Peter being nasally or something for the episode.
Yeah.
Or if it has anything to do with anything, which it doesn't really factor in, like you were saying, it really doesn't
not
factor
a lot
into the plot at all.
They do a little teeny tiny bit with it, but I wouldn't even say it's essential to the story.
It's really not. It's just kind of like added flavor, I guess, that doesn't really do anything.
Yeah.
But it's like, then at least like eliminate the I don't want Spider-Man to just be sneezing on camera, onto the camera with the snot and green mucus like dripping off of the lens of the screen.
Literally never want that in any of the media I'm consuming.
I guess that's the kind of thing that probably is just more for like the little kids. I wasn't really that. I was never a kid that loved.
I always thought burger humor was gross.
Yeah.
I
never did either, but I feel like some kids have to because it's all over the damn place.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, it's feel like it's kind of in line with like Nickelodeon slime and stuff like that, which I mean, slime I can get behind a little more than
booger
stuff, but it's the same kind of thing where it's just like gross, messy stuff, food fights, farting, like all that stuff is kind of wrapped up.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that kids, because like it's like gross and it bothers other people, so it like gets a reaction, so I get it. But
sure.
Well, here's what I will say though, because I started off strong saying that I hate something very core about this episode. Here's the tease though. This episode also has my favorite moment of animation you and I have ever covered of a Spider-Man show.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I'm fucking obsessed with it.
I wasn't as high on it as you were, but I don't disagree. Oh, it's pretty great.
I can't think of anything that off the top of my head, at least, that tops it. Oh my God. I'm so excited.
Okay, let's do it.
It's so cool. It's such a cool moment.
Yeah.
Very cool sequence. Okay, so if you want to watch this simultaneously gross burger humor episode and also Doug's favorite moment of animation in a Spider-Man cartoon so far episode of Ultimate Spider-Man, you can on Disney Plus.
Cool.
And that episode we were talking about is Ultimate Spider-Man Season 1, Episode 8, Back in Black.
In Midtown.
Did I just get replaced?
The question is, where did he come from? What's his story?
Oh, give me a break, guys. We know his story, don't we? All of us do. It's Venom. It's back.
Venom? No way. That thing was huge, and this is just a guy in a suit.
Yeah, the same suit.
Perhaps you may be seeing connections where there are none.
Harry, what's the deal?
Oh, nothing. Just the biggest secret you'll ever hear in your life. You know about that new hero, right?
What is that? Gary? No!
Yes.
I am Venom.
The synopsis per IMDb is, it's bad enough when Peter catches a cold, but things go from bad to worse when a new Spider-Man dressed in black attempts to replace him.
Why did this have to be the black suit Spider-Man episode?
I'm pretty sure that this is the last episode of the show that I had watched originally. I thought I got like six episodes in, but I think I maybe missed a couple of them. I think I watched like the first few.
No. I know you've seen this episode because I remember specifically when we were covering 2017, I made a comment where I was like, or maybe you just knew this already, actually, but I made a comment where I was like, wouldn't it be interesting if a property explored the idea of like Harry Osborn being Venom? And you were bro, didn't you literally just watch this?
Yeah. Cause I definitely had seen this episode years ago when it first aired. Cause I remember the Harry Venom thing. I was like, that's interesting. Like I didn't quit the show because of this episode. It was just like, I was watching through this one and then was just like, okay. And then I just never watched another episode ever again.
Yeah.
And wasn't compelled to revisit it anytime soon.
Well, you were watching it in real time, right? Like it's so much easier to drop a show in real time because it's like, will I come back a week later or not?
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you don't make that decision consciously.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I remember people being mad about Venom being Harry too, of course.
It's fine.
That's what a terrible, horrible change that should never be done or touched.
Nah,
no one else should be Venom, but Eddie Brock, that's never going to happen. Original air date was May 13th, 2012. Written by Man of Action. We know him. Directed by Phil Pignotti. We know him.
And there really aren't any new notable characters introduced in this episode. It's all players on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So we can dive right into the events.
Yeah.
So this episode starts with a flu-stricken Peter. I'm pretty sure he says the flu at one point.
He does.
So whoever
he
wrote that synopsis
says the flu. Yep.
Yeah, really downplaying the gross factor here. But he is flu-stricken, and he is watching a live news segment of Dragon Man, very fucking cool.
Love that, yeah.
Attacking the city and being taken down by Black Suit Spider-Man. Mm. And then we cut to title, like, within, like, 30 seconds. Yeah. Like, they just introduce, like, here he is,
yeah.
Black Suit Spider-Man.
Very quick introduction. Yeah, but one of my first notes for this is just, in all caps, Dragon Man, bitches.
Yeah. So cool. It's almost a bummer that he's like peripheral in this episode.
Yeah, he really
is so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he shows up at least like a couple of times. Yeah. But he just kind of flies around and shoots fire and that's it, which is fine. You know, it's fine. But
especially because they could have easily made it like three different foes. Like they could have just been like, we could do three references, but they stuck with Dragon Man.
Yeah, it's cool looking design. I dig it.
He looks fucking really cool in this.
Love Dragon Man. Never read a single comic with
I don't know
Man
shit. I don't know anything about
I know
this,
stuff
this
about him just because of
thing.
I know stuff about him just because of course something called Dragon Man would have crossed my would have, you know, been in my in my periphery at some point, but I've just never sought out comics with him in it. I've just read about him and looked at pictures of him because he's fucking cool.
Yeah. So this show has taught me that at least a version, if not all versions of Dragon Man, are robots or androids. Is that like a core characteristic, or is it just different versions?
That's always been my understanding.
Okay, gotcha.
He's always a robot. Yeah, that's what makes it funny that he's called Dragon Man, because
he's like
not a dragon,
not
he's
a dragon
not a man,
nor a man.
He's a robot.
Yeah.
But it's like a fucking.
I learned that from this show.
A fucking fire breathing robot dragon is the coolest shit in the world. Like it's all I've ever wanted in my life. So.
It rules, and in this show, it's very like dragon / gargoyle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like it looks rad as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like the joke. It's like it's like an anti-joke at the beginning. Cause when Peter's complaining about being sick and he like tries to come up with a pun, he's like, if you gotta roll with the mucus, and then it's just a long pause and then nothing happens, and then I think he turns the TV on. It's just like
That's my kind of mucus humor.
Yeah, it's just like actually, there is no joke here. Let's move on. Like, I found that very funny. Mm-hmm.
It just sucks being sick. Full stop.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's almost like, I like it. It's funny.
Yeah.
Postmodern, that's the word I was going to use. It's kind of like a postmodern joke that you don't, that you kind of wouldn't expect on a show like this.
Yeah, I dig it. I dig it.
Yeah.
They have range. They're showing us they have range, mm-hmm. which I appreciate.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, in this version of the Black Suit Spider-Man story, pretty much everyone, including Jameson and Flash, are like immediately stricken. Like they're just like, this is the coolest shit I've ever seen.
I find that very
which
funny.
Is notable because in this show, Spider-Man just still exists. Like it's just a new Spider-Man wearing the black suit, and everyone's like, we hated that guy, but we love this guy.
It's funny. I mean, you know, it's not played for anything deeper than comedy, but it is it's funny. It's funny in like the Mysterio kind of way, where like multiple Mysterio episodes, weird dude with a fishbowl head just shows up and everyone is super horny
and
for
Jameson
him.
Is like immediate boner for Mysterio.
Yeah. And it's like, what did he do that was like so interesting? I don't understand.
It's that fishbowl, baby.
Yeah. But like, I like, you know, there's the meta layer of this too. Like everybody fucking loves the black suit. Like it's on everybody's top 10 favorite suits list. Yeah. Like everybody fucking loves it. So it's like they introduce it and it's everybody fucking loves it. The black suit's cool, man. What can I say?
it is meta. They're smart. They know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, naturally, Peter does not like this. He turns to us, the audience, and says, like, we have a bad feeling about this, right? Because, of course, we know.
Yeah.
But no one else knows, just him and us. Mm-hmm. But when he tries to convince Fury and the S.H.I.E.L.D. team that the Black Suit Spider-Man is just Venom, you guys, it's obviously Venom. You
I
see
like
that it's Venom, right? They chalk it up to just insecurity, paranoia, and him being sick.
It's stupid, but I think it's hilarious because that's
I think it works.
That's another kind of postmodernity kind of thing almost. And it's just like, like, yeah, I recognize the narrative that I'm in. Here's the really obvious thing in front of me. This is, we're doing a Venom sequel, right?
Yeah.
And everyone else is sort of like, no, we're in like the old fashioned style of storytelling.
Right.
We're all just going to be oblivious to what's obviously on screen. Like, I think that's very funny.
And like, look, it's different. Silly. Like, no, it's great. And I think the show, we've talked about this before. The show basically, I think like a few episodes in, the show basically said like, okay, we know what the rules of a superhero show are, but we're going to have comedy kind of constantly, so we can like lean on these ridiculous things where it's like you and us all know, but no one else knows, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It really, it pays off what they've set up.
It does. It does make me so mad that Peter knows he has the flu and like still went into work, like went into the office essentially. Like, it's
don't
one thing,
go to work when you're sick.
And, like, it's one thing, you know, for him like actually saving the day, you know, and like helping in a crisis or whatever as Spider-Man. Like, I understand that, and I think that always makes sense in Spider-Man.
No,
comic.
He like went to a meeting.
He went to a meeting in a small space for SHIELD, which, guess what? SHIELD has all this fucking technology. I'm sure SHIELD had Zoom in 2012 or Skype or
he
something
Zoom
like that.
He has Zoom on his watch.
Yeah, he could just call in from his fucking
video
watch.
Video calls with Fury in this very episode,
That's
I believe. Or maybe it was the last episode. I don't know.
Yeah, but no, he does in this episode too. You're right. So there's no reason for Spider-Man to have come into the office, you fucking jackass. Come on.
Don't go to work when you're sick, because one, you deserve that time off. And if your company doesn't give it to you, they suck. Company, give them their time off, their sick days. And two, it's inconsiderate and you're going to get everybody else sick.
I guess,
and if you can't afford to be off, they can't either.
Nick Fury probably is the kind of boss that would just be like, come in anyway or you're fired kind of thing.
Fuck that guy.
So he probably forced Spider-Man to come in regardless.
Damn. And Aunt May is too busy working and having a cool life to argue with Nick Fury, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Because she's obviously very aware. Well, anyway, later when Dragon Man attacks the city again and Black Suit Spider-Man easily takes him down again, Spider-Man arrives on scene looking for answers. So Black Suit is just like, no thanks, brushes him off, and Spider-Man's like, excuse me, and attempts to chase him down. But Black Suit Spider-Man gets the jump on him and makes him look like a fool in front of a crowd of Black Suit admirers. And this is where they try to make the flu thing matter, because they sort of are like, oh, he's like sneezing and sick and like isn't at full capacity, so of course the Black Suit Spider-Man takes him down easily. But you don't need that. It's the Black Suit Spider-Man. You could just be stronger.
Yeah.
Like, he just is gonna be stronger.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Doesn't have to be
and
sick.
That's okay. Like, that's kind of what we want, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. We missed something that I wanted to talk about, actually, in the last scene.
Okay, what did we miss?
I just noticed my notes.
One
of the cutaways when Peter is, like, you know, just thinking about the Black Suit Spider-Man and that he, like, you know, that he doesn't like it and everything. There's, like, a whole Imagine Spot, like, montage of, like, seeing the Black Suited Spider-Man in different genres. Like, there's one that's, like, a Super Friends homage with Doof, for some reason, from X-Men along with it. And it's like done in like the old school like 70s Super Friends style with like a like all like the Super Friends narrator talking about it, and then it transitions to like a 50s sci-fi.
This is so weird. I've clearly lost my mind, because I remember making a note about that and I cannot find it. Yeah, this is so cool. It's like,
yeah,
I love this, like comparing him to a bunch of like classic movie monsters and aliens.
Yeah Super Friends, you know, which is like an alien thing, and also like everyone else uses it as a hero, but then that transitions into like a 50s sci-fi, like it came from below kind of thing.
Yeah!
Like a sci-fi 50s black monster movie.
Yeah.
And then that transitions into like an old black and white, almost like a Universal horror movie. Ugh. Where it's just like black and white and coming from the shadows and stuff.
Yeah,
it's fucking cool, dude.
No, it rules, and it goes like longer than it ever should have, but I'm so glad it did. Like, most cutaways I would be so mad if they lasted as long as this one did.
Well,
but it was so fucking rad.
Most of them aren't that funny or interesting most of the time.
No,
like,
they're just like a joke. You
know? But this one, like, it's not even like so much the joke as it is just like,
yeah,
a fun little experiment of them trying to do different styles of these characters.
I also love that one of them is like, it's like, oh, it's an alien, when you and I are fully aware of the fact that it's not an alien.
It's actually, you know what? I didn't even think about that when I was watching it. You're right.
This isn't an alien. You told us it's not an alien.
Explicitly not an alien, but he's imagining it as an alien from like a 50s movie. That's fucking great. Oh, that's so funny.
I know. It's nice. I dig it.
Yeah, that's the kind
I'm
of
so
stuff.
I'm so glad you caught that, because that I definitely wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because it was so good, and I would love more. Like, I don't know how, but I just want so much more of that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. They can do those types of things with the cutaways. Like, that's the argument for cutaways in this show, right?
For sure.
Like, if you're an anti-cutaway person, which I kind of understand, that's a particular kind of humor that sometimes can be a little cheap, and when it's badly done, it's just annoying. And this
I
show,
will say this episode has maybe too many. I'm glad the episode finishes the way that it does, because one, it had a lot of fake sick voice and a lot of booger humor and a lot of cutaways. So I was like, I'm going to be real mad if I walk away from this episode hating it.
Oh, for sure.
And I ultimately don't, but it took a while before I realized I wouldn't hate it.
Well, it's still not the show's best effort. I think it is.
No, not at all.
Bogged down in like the worst kinds of its humor sometimes. That's the kind of cutaway stuff that I like, is when it's not necessarily just for like a one-off joke. It is also like kind of that core of like, what is Peter seeing in his head, and how do we visualize it? And that's a really creative way to visualize it, is like, is sort of translating Peter's feelings into like old movies, basically old movies and old cartoons. Like, that's such a fucking clever thing to do. I want more of that than just like chibi Spider-Man sneezing on the camera lens or something.
Yes,
you know?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned this crowd of black suit admirers and how Spider-Man looks like a fool in front of them. They are not the only one watching this. Otto, remember him, is also watching this, and he reports to Norman that the Dragon Man android has been collecting valuable information on this black suit, which he is certain must be related to their Venom experiment. So Dragon Man, not just a coincidental villain, not just a throwaway kind of guy for the sake of like, here's a cool reference. I mean, it kind of, in some ways, it's just a cool reference, but they work it into the plot to say Otto actually sent him out there to gather info, which is neat.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back at Midtown, Harry interrupts Sam as he makes fun of Peter for getting stomped by black suit, and then reveals to Peter in the bathroom. Well, I want to make sure this is clear. Harry is like, hey, Peter, I want to tell you a secret. Comes, brings Peter into the bathroom. And while they're alone, he's like, hey, here's a cool thing we're going to show you. He like pulls out his cool looking watch, presses a button, and the fucking Venom symbiote comes out of the watch and covers him up, and it's shown that he is the black suit Spider-Man. Which,
Spider-Man,
you know,
Unlimited.
Wait, what?
Spider-Man Unlimited.
Oh, Spider-Man. Oh my God. Oh my God.
If you thought that wasn't the first shit I thought of.
Dude, no, I'm sorry. That didn't even fucking occur to me. Oh my God. I'm so dumb. It's like, what the hell is Doug saying? What the fuck?
I can't make a little, like, what is it, an air horn they use with my mouth, but I tried my best.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. That is so Spider-Man Unlimited. Holy shit.
It's literally the watch from Spider-Man Unlimited.
It's the fucking high tech watch from Spider-Man
Nano
Unlimited.
Suit or whatever.
It's like suits him up just like Spider-Man Unlimited's nano suit.
It does.
Did.
It crawls all over him.
Holy shit. I can't believe that didn't even cross my mind. I think because I'd seen this episode way back at the time and Spider-Man Unlimited just wasn't my brain as much. Like, I don't know. I just didn't have that association.
Wow. Spider-Man Unlimited not being on your brain 24/7. What's that like?
Well, that's why that's how we're different. Yeah, I know peace, actually.
I know suffering only.
Yeah. Everywhere I look, I see Spider-Man Unlimited. Oh my God. Yeah. Why the fuck is Peter in school right now? Like, come on. I understand if Nick Fury dragged sick Peter to the helicarrier, but fucking Aunt May would have told him to stay home.
They, you know, yeah. Yeah. They really, Aunt May just like is not present in this show, like as herself or at all. Like she's there at the beginning, but like,
yeah, at the beginning,
just to bring him a booger colored smoothie.
Ew, oh God. Why do they do that? Come on.
I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, he shouldn't be in fucking school. It's weird. I mean, whatever. They have to have him for the scene, but then don't make him fucking sick. Like, come on.
Yep. I'm telling ya.
This episode actually makes more sense if he's not sick.
Yep. Yep.
Whatever. I, you know, I, character wise, it's interesting that Harry's like first instinct, he's been Black Suit Spider-Man for like a day, and it's like, hey, Peter, my best friend, I'm Spider-Man. Isn't that cool? Like, I think it makes sense because Harry does have kind of a bit of an ego and has like wanted this for a while and like worked for this, possibly out of jealousy, possibly out of like inferiority, but also because he just wants to be a fucking cool superhero. I get it. So it kind of makes sense that he wants to show it off to his friend, but also like, I do feel like this show has gone to enough lengths to show that Peter, that Harry really does care about Peter and sees him as like his best friend. So
yeah,
it makes sense.
I actually wish they drove that point home harder, because I love, it's happened enough times that I feel like it's a thing that I can point to and say, I like when they do this. I love when somebody in a Spider-Man show has a secret, goes to Peter and says, I knew I had to tell you right away because you were my best friend. Yeah. I would never keep this from you.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
There's, I mean, just something about it that works every time because of who Peter Parker is at his core.
Right.
Again, I think we talked last week about like, there are a lot of characters who know Peter's secret, so like the stakes aren't as high, but I still like it in this moment because Harry's not one of those people. So he gets to be like, you're my best friend. You're the only one I would want to tell, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. And it always like creates that extra tension of, it's just like, God, is Peter being a bad person by not telling his identity? Like, you know, I love the complexity and the ambiguity there. And it's like, what would you do if you were in Peter's shoes? You know? And there's no answer for it, right? Because Peter's always going to probably make the worst possible decision when it comes to this stuff anyway. So, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think this is interesting. It's really cool. And like, I think all the reactions are appropriate because Peter is like immediately freaked out, for good reason. And it all works in the context of the scene, because Harry is like, well, I understand that I freaked you out because I just showed you this like creepy black ooze that turned me into Black Spider-Man, not realizing that Peter is freaking out because he is Spider-Man and has like dealt with this, literally fought this thing before. But there's also the added like factor that like, everyone at his house party witnessed the Venom symbiote. I guess know that it's called Venom. Yeah, because people said that when it was possessed by Venom or whatever. Yeah. Right. So it's like it is interesting that it's like a common like known fact within these high school kids that
it
there
was an
a,
event. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big thing. You went to Harry Osborn's house party and had to face a creepy black ooze monster called Venom. Like, that's not a secret. So Harry actually like is kind of understanding why Peter would be freaked out, even as Peter's reminding him of this stuff. But he's like, it's cool. I got this watch that I guess Harry made on his own, question mark.
I mean, he had to have, right?
Yeah, there's no one
else
knows
about it. They don't explain any other way.
They don't explain it, but it's like, is Harry a science genius? Like, did he steal some tech from Oscorp?
Yeah.
They don't explain that at all.
They really have. I mean, unfortunately, there just hasn't been enough Harry in this series to really tell us this, or they just haven't told us it, I guess is a better way to put it. Like, we have no idea if this is a genius Harry,
right?
Like, sometimes he is and sometimes he isn't, and I don't know where this one falls.
I do think that that's kind of, I think that's a mistake that the show's not mistake I think that's a flaw in this story that they're telling right now.
Yeah,
because I do think that that's really an important bit that they've missed. Like, where did this fucking watch come from? I wouldn't always question where cool superhero tech is coming from, but it feels very important to ask that question. Where did this watch come from? How did Harry train this thing? It seems like all of the stuff that he has pulled off, it seems like he either needs to be a super genius or he needed to have help. And there's no evidence of either of those things.
Yeah.
So it's just like, where the fuck did he get this watch? How was he training this black ooze that he theoretically knew absolutely fuck all about, other than that he saw that it was a monster possessing people a few weeks ago? Like,
yeah, because any candidate who would be like an interesting puppeteer or like bigger bad, like, is immediately canceled out. Like,
yeah.
Otto does not know anything about this. Norman does not know anything about this. And those are really the only other players it could have been that we know, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird choice, and it feels like they just kind of tried to avoid it and hoped we wouldn't notice it because they could get to the meat of the episode.
It's not great. But
it's not great. I feel like it's kind of cheap. And I think that was my first thought when watching it. I was like, okay, are you going to explain where the watch came from? No, you're just going to move on. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And it's like, it's a pretty important piece to this episode. So like,
yeah,
I don't understand why they didn't just have, if Otto is already kind of seeming to be working behind Norman's back in one capacity or another, or at least keeping secrets from him, I don't understand why it wasn't like Otto, or, you know, maybe not directly, but like somehow giving Harry this technology or working with him.
I think it straight up should have been Otto. I think they should have moved earlier in the timeline, him figuring out something about Harry.
Yeah.
And should have been feeding Harry tech or experimenting with Harry behind Norman's back. I think that would have been incredibly compelling.
And I don't see why
Otto has already tried to blow up Harry's school. You know, like,
right.
I think it would have fit perfectly in with this Otto we know very little about, but know that about.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't really know what happens after this episode, but like, I don't see why they couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I agree. And Harry can still break off their relationship or whatever at the end of it. Or maybe Otto was working, you know, maybe Otto was only contacting him through like electronic messages. So Harry never knew that it was Otto or something like that, you know, mm-hmm. and they just break, you know, there's plays cool. that they could have worked around it.
Yeah.
But nope, we'll just never know where the watch came from.
Yeah. Which is a bummer. I mean, you said this episode is not their strongest showing, no. and like, that's why. Like, this episode had me hype at the end specifically. It's like the last 5 to 7 minutes or something. I was like pretty fucking hype, like a kid watching Saturday morning cartoons. But everything leading up to it is either something I actively don't like or just like not told all that well. This is a perfect example of it. Just like story not being told very well.
There's a good episode buried in this, but it needed to get rid of stuff like the sickness stuff and then use that time towards building Harry a little bit better, I think.
Yeah, exactly. This was their opportunity. I mean, last week we talked about a Mary Jane centered episode. This was their opportunity to do a really good Harry centered episode. And I just don't think they did.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if this is another, now it's just conspiracy theory talk, but I wonder if this is another push-pull thing where Marvel, where, you know, an executive at Marvel really wanted the funny, gross-out comedy of a sickness thing and was like, you have to have it in this episode that you're doing. And they, and, you know, Man of Action or whoever wanted to write their cool Venom episode and, like, had to work the more children's humor gross out stuff into it eventually.
Maybe it was a compromise, right? Where they were allowed to do an episode with no cutaways or any of this show's characteristic humor, but they couldn't do two in a row.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know.
I'm just going to always blame everything that I don't like on an undisclosed Marvel executive. We're just going to do that.
Whatever. Who cares? I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Their lives are fine, you know?
Yeah, they will be fine. Our podcast talking shit about a named person is like that we don't know of at all. Not going to hurt anybody. So it'll be fine.
Nope. It's all them.
Yeah. So this is interesting. Peter attempts to pay forward the great power, great responsibility lesson. He even says that, like, I never thought that I was going to pay this forward, but classic phrase from Uncle Ben. But Harry responds, huh, that's funny. That's not what I was taught at all. And then we get this flashback where Norman also is bestowing, you know, this very, very important advice to Harry, saying that he's an Osborn, a name that carries great power, and with great power comes great reward.
How do you feel about this?
I think it's fine. I don't mind, because I think that this show, more than really any other one that I've seen, or maybe not this show, this episode specifically, is trying to present like a dichotomy of Peter and Harry, right? Like, even, but you know, with the way that they reveal their secret identities or don't, the way that they operate as superheroes and their reasons for being superheroes, they're both parallel Spider-Man. Like, Harry is like a shadow Spider-Man, just as like Venom often is in the comics, right? So I think that they're just hammering that dichotomy home, that they're sort of two sides of the same coin, but Harry is sort of like the darker version of Spider-Man doing it for worse reasons.
Yeah. I think I'm into it. I think if in a better episode, I could be really into it. Mm-hmm. And I think in an episode I wasn't so deeply biased against, I could be really into it.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
Like, I think it's, like you said, there's a good episode in here, and I think this is one of the ingredients.
Yeah. It's on the nose, that's for sure. But, like, I don't really, a lot of the show is on the nose. It's made for little kids. So I'm fine with that. Fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, Harry starts to get annoyed with Peter, because Peter is not thinking it's the coolest thing in the world, rightfully, and is like asking, you know, if he's considered what's going to happen if you lose control of that suit that we've seen ravage your house party and turn into a monster before.
And so that Peter has hosted. Like, we can't forget that, like, Peter has hosted this thing before. So, but, like, he knows.
Harry doesn't know that. But, but even without the Spider-Man side of things, it's still a valid question. Like, you know, this thing was, like, an ooze monster last time.
Yeah, that was, tried to kill taking control of people's bodies.
Right. Like, so, you know, is it going to take control of your body? Valid question. Yeah, he's just like, I've got the fucking watch. I'm fine. And just walks away. So... Peter grabs his arm and Harry turns menacingly to him and hisses, "I said no problem," with hissy monster voice that I can't do at all.
Like a nice little slight, they do like the slight dual voice. Like there's definitely two voices there, but it's not nearly as obvious as like a full Venom would be.
Yeah.
To the point where they even do like a fourth wall break. You know what I think it is? I think there's so much booger humor. There's so many cutaways and there's so much fourth wall breaking in this episode that it's like just too frequent. But whatever. He breaks the fourth wall and he goes like, "I'm not the only one that noticed that, right?" Because again, we are like his only sort of ally in this situation.
Yeah.
Knowing that something is wrong when it's obviously wrong and no one else will acknowledge it.
Yeah, I would have been fine with those types of cutaways in this episode, but I think
me too.
I think it's like right before the last cutaway before that one is like him sneezing on the camera and then being like, "Vampire sneeze, you got to remember the vampire sneeze," which
like, sneezing
is not
on the camera. Like, come
right,
on.
Right, come on.
I hate it.
Also, the vampire sneeze thing that comes up like multiple times, it's not as funny as you think it is. You didn't need to rule a thirds that joke. Like,
no, it was never
that funny.
It wasn't funny the first time. And it's just good advice. Like, like, it's not funny. It's just a thing you should do.
right. Like,
or you could not go to school and not go to work.
Go rest your fucking body, man. Jeez.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. So after school, Harry walks into Norman's office just as Norman is finishing up a call with Otto. And this is one of those like beautiful dramatic irony moments where we know something that the characters don't know, because Harry attempts to share with Norman that he is the black suit Spider-Man. But before he can get it out, Norman just brushes him off, for some reason chastises him about his bad grades, and just leaves.
Hassle.
So like, Norman was just having a conversation, fascinated by this black suit Spider-Man. Black suit Spider-Man's right in front of him, trying to tell him he is black suit Spider-Man. And Norman, of course, because of his ego, is like, "I don't care. I have better things to worry about, like Black Suit Spider-Man."
I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
I wish there was more of that kind of stuff in this episode. Because I love the idea of, because I don't know they really see in your classic Harry Norman stories, usually Harry doesn't become a Green Goblin until after Norman's dead. Mm-hmm. So like, you don't really get to see Harry, like a superpowered Harry, you know, with Norman. I guess Spectacular Spider-Man did a little bit of it when he was like taking the green as steroids, essentially. Yeah. Like it is sort of similar to that, but I do think that there is something very different when it's like, I have a secret identity as a superhero that my dad is fascinated by and actually think is fucking cool. Like, there is an interesting dynamic there, and like, they have the opportunity to play that with a version of Harry that is Venom that like has never happened before. Yeah. And so I like the bit that we get, but it would have been cooler to see more of that. Honestly,
yeah, especially because Harry's right. Remember, Harry a number of times has commented on like, "Dang, I wish I could just be Spider-Man," or "Dang, I wish I could be stronger than Spider-Man," or "Whoa, that thing is stronger than Spider-Man. What if maybe I was that instead?" And then his own dad is, one, fascinated with Spider-Man, and then two, fascinated with this thing that's stronger than Spider-Man. Like, Harry knows all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great that they have it there and could play with it, but I'm with you. I wish they played with it more.
Yep. There's a lot of things they could have played with if they cut out sneezing at the camera humor all the time.
Yeah. So true.
Yep. So that night, while Spider-Man is trying to track Black Suit Spidey, he gets a call from Nick Fury, who's like kind of suspicious that Spider-Man might know something about that other Spider-Man that he's not sharing, which obviously we know he does, but he doesn't want to share that. Like, he doesn't want to tell Nick Fury that, like, his best friend is this black-suited Spider-Man. He doesn't want to rat out his best friend for one, but also you get your kind of cutaway where he's explaining the need for superheroes to protect his identities, or protect their identities, right? So you see, like, him imagining, first of all, I like that the beginning of his imagine spot is like, what if I were to unveil myself as Peter Parker? And he does it, and the reaction to everyone in his imagination is that everyone laughs at him when he unveils himself as Peter Parker, which is very funny. But then there's also, you know, your classic examples like the villains are going to attack Mary Jane and the villains are going to attack Aunt May
at the movie theater.
And they're both just annoyed. Like, why did you have to tell everyone your secret identity? Like, you know, your classic thing. If your villains knew your identity, they'd come after your loved ones. We've all seen it before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just presented in a fun, silly little cutaway.
Yeah. Yeah. This is good stuff that you have Nick Fury kind of on his case, suspecting that Spider-Man knows more than he's letting on. I don't feel like they set this up, though. Like, did we see what gave Nick Fury the clue?
I thought all it was that he phoned Spider-Man, like, being like, he just says, like, you haven't been returning my calls, essentially. And Spider-Man's like, oh, I'm just, you know, doing recon. And I think just from that conversation, Spider-Man just not being in touch with him very much, not being communicative, and then still, like, not really giving him any info on what he's been doing. I think Nick Fury is just like, I just sense that something's up. I think that's
I don't know. I think they're relying too heavily on Nick Fury being sort of omniscient.
I think it also doesn't
set it up better.
Fucking matter. Like, he doesn't even need to be in this. Shield doesn't need to be in this episode.
Well,
at all.
That, I mean, that's true. And it probably would have benefited this episode because there is so much extra stuff in the first, like, 2/3 of this that they could have just cut it out.
Yeah.
But it could have been an interesting bit of tension. It could have been, I mean, that type of tension could carry its own episode. So they don't need it also in here, but anyway, like, if they're going to include it, if it's another directive, like, last time you didn't have Shield, they were the bad guys. Last time you didn't tell any jokes. So tell some jokes, make sure Shield is in here. I still think they could have done this better.
Yeah. Yeah. They could have. Yeah. I mean, as it stands, Nick Fury's barely in it and barely factors into anything anyway, other than like this one slight bit of tension.
Yeah.
So,
cut it.
Yeah.
Cut him from the episode.
Yeah. Well, speaking of cutting, when it cuts back from Spidey's cutaway, Spidey is confronted by Dragon Man again.
He's back.
Yeah. Cool. Love to
see
it.
This episode's so much more than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And not something I want you to cut. Integral.
Yeah.
If you will.
More Dragon Man, honestly. Really. Yeah. Give him his own episode.
Yeah. Better come back. Well, in a terrible coincidence, Spider-Man's web shooters run out of web fluid just as Dragon Man tackles him to the ground. And in a terrible bit of irony, he's saved by Black Suit Spider-Man, who rips the wings off of Dragon Man.
Wowie zowie.
Then open mouth smiles, which is not a good sign.
Yeah, nope.
And then throws the wings like oversized shuriken at a nearby photographer. So something's gone wrong.
What,
everybody?
0 to 60 there, I guess. See, I think, like, I don't mind this. It's like he's
no, I do know, think it works because he walks away from Norman pissed.
Yeah, I get that, but I still feel like it would have been. It's fine. It works just fine. It would have been better if there was a little more buildup. They just don't have time for it because they have too
and
much
we
shit.
Had to fill that in. Like, you do have to do that. Like, you have to do the addition there.
Yeah, I think if they had more time, if they gave themselves more time, you know, cut some stuff or made it a part or what
Harry's
have you.
Anger.
You build up Harry's anger and have a couple of, like, I think you could have had a couple of moments, because otherwise literally the only other moment we see of Harry having like a potential dark moment is when, like, he just hisses at Peter, which is like a thing. But if you got like a couple more instances of those and it got progressively worse, it would have been better. I feel like as it stands, it's not that it comes out of nowhere. It totally doesn't. But like, it's just not as smooth as it could be, because it does still feel like he goes 0 to 60 just because his dad made him mad, which valid, but also, you know, it could have been better.
What's weird is this show has at least a couple episodes. I think maybe half of what we've talked about so far, although we're what, like 8 episodes into this. So maybe just a few episodes where they do like heavy quick, fast exposition at the front of an episode mm-hmm. so that they can spend more time like telling a fuller, like more robust story for the second and third chunks of the episode. Mm-hmm. This should have been one of those. I think they actually tell too much. I think they tell the beginning part of this story maybe like too much. Like, I think they needed to establish like Black Suit Spidey is back. Like, honestly, that's really all they need to establish. They just cut out all the S.H.I.E.L.D. and SICK stuff, and you could do that like really quick exposition dump, and then the rest of the episode can really be like building Harry's anger, having mm-hmm. the Venom symbiote feeding off of that anger, and like build up to this moment where he finally snaps.
Yeah.
This is where that structure would have served them really, really well.
I fully agree.
And instead, it ends up being something we're more familiar with, which is like way too much stuff in the first two thirds, and then like a quick... Yeah. Albeit cool as hell, like last chunk of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's yep. uncharacteristic for the show, actually.
It kind of is. Yeah. It's a real bummer. It's a real bummer because yeah. I don't know. There's so much potential in the story and doing it with Harry.
Yeah.
It just kind of whiffs, unfortunately.
This is our first clue, though. This like ripping mm-hmm. off of the wings and throwing them at a reporter. This is our first clue that we might actually get some cool as hell action.
Yeah.
Because as little as this moment is, like, they do justice to those wings and the weight of those wings mm-hmm. And just how dangerous they are. Yeah. So,
I do think that this is even, you know, this show is pretty consistent. I do think even by this show's standards, it looks a lot more gorgeous than it yeah. normally looks. Like, every scene of it does.
Yeah. Yeah, very, yeah. very good stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of good fluid movement and lighting and everything in this episode, like throughout it, and that only gets yeah. cooler as it goes along.
Yeah.
I have to call out one thing I absolutely fucking hate, worst line of the second episode, is Spider-Man has what's supposed to be a joke, but like Venom, he's like, you know, he shows up, right, as Venom's starting to rampage, and Venom like picks up a car, I think, right, and mm-hmm. Spider-Man's like, put it down, and then Venom throws the car at Spider-Man, and Spider-Man's cool quip is, I thought I asked him to put it down, not throw it at me, but
yeah, that's so weird, because the put it down thing, like, that's one of those jokes that's like already written and you can tell over and over and over again. And everyone's just like, I get the joke
yeah.
because you told me to put it down. So I put it down really hard.
Yeah. Bad. Not good. Hate it.
Like everyone's done that joke. It's almost like a call and response at this point, you know? Yeah.
It's just weird. And it's not like they
weird
were like
to Biff.
Making a joke about, you know, how predictable that joke is. It's like,
no.
He says it like it's a punchline. And it's like, what's the punchline? You just explained what explained yeah. the joke. Explain it in a funny way. It's just was
and they
really
don't,
bad.
They don't consistently enough blame his bad quips on him being sick, because they do that at one point with
That's
that first
excuse.
One you talked about, right?
Bullshit excuse.
No, I'm saying they could have though. Like they could, gotcha. That could have been the ongoing joke, is that all of his jokes suck because
That's
he's
fair.
Too tired and sick to tell jokes. And yeah. then you could have had a bunch of moments, not too many hopefully, of that sort of postmodern humor you were talking about.
I see what you mean. Yeah,
you know
they could
mean?
Have they could have made that just a running gag in the episode.
Right. I'm not saying that's yeah. what they did here. I'm saying they could have played with that.
Yeah, yeah, they could have. It at least would have justified it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it would have also required a better joke.
It would have required a better joke. Yeah. Either way, on to better, cooler stuff, because there's still a lot of cool stuff that happens.
Yes,
from
this is
forward.
This is where the cool shit starts happening for sure. So Spider-Man attempts to distract and prevent this Black Suit Spider-Man from attacking innocent civilians. But while he does, the Black Suit becomes more monstrous. And when Spider-Man tries to compel Black Suit Spidey into remembering who he is, which is Harry Osborn, Venom replies, "I remember who I am. I am Venom." Nice. So it's like, oh shit, okay, he's taken over. Like, he's here. And I actually yeah. think that's a really cool line. I think that's a cool exchange that they have.
It's a cool exchange. Matt Lanter's Venom voice fucking rules. It's
yeah.
really good.
It's very good.
It's very, very good. I love this sort of gradual change into basically classic Venom by the end of the scene. Like, it is,
yeah.
it goes, you know, it kind of does the Spectacular Spider-Man thing in a way, like a version of that on a quicker mm-hmm. time scale, of going Black Suit Spider-Man to full on Venom with the teeth and the tongue and the big bulkiness and the claws and stuff. And it's great. I think it's really clever. I also love his little clawed feetsies. They're so cute. He's got little clawed feet.
I do like this design. My only complaints are for a portion, he seems to have a nose, which is weird to me. I don't like that.
I don't get that. It's a stupid choice.
It's weird because, like, he didn't as Black Suit and he doesn't as the final Venom. So it's like weird they give him this little sort of like bat goblin nose.
It's really weird.
It's a choice. I mean, they experimented, whatever. Yeah. I also don't like, I understand that what they're doing with the tongue is making it sort of like the rest of his suit, where it's like it can kind of do anything, be flexible. It's like a tendril, basically. But, and this isn't exclusive to the show, it's just a Venom opinion I have. I hate when they end the tongue in like a drip. Like, I wish it just always ended tapered, like sharp, you know?
I see what you mean.
And this show really has like that weird like drip effect on the end of the tongue. And I'm like, make it slobber or make it sharp.
Yeah, no, I actually agree with you. It's a really, it's, I'm not a fan. I mean, I don't know. I guess like...
I think his tongue in this show, I think the implication is that it is goopy like the rest of his body.
I think so. And it does make it like more grotesque and alien. I get that. But
yeah,
they also want him to look cool and you can't have your cake and eat it too. I mean, you make him full gross, the thing stuff, or make him cool. You can't split the difference.
They could have done both if they just had it at separate points in his transformation.
That's true. Like,
that's how you get both, you know?
There you go. I would be here for that.
Yeah. And we kind of do, you know, like there is, like you said, there is a transformation over the course of these sequences where he changes from Black Suit into classic Venom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So the two of them clash for a bit. And after they do, Spider-Man focuses his blows on Venom's head, attempting to reach Harry underneath, which seems weird, but actually does work enough for Harry to briefly emerge and plead for help, which is actually... kind of devastating, especially because he's like, I think he says something to the effect of like, I can't, like, help me, I can't. And Venom like, you know, absorbs him back in and says, you can. And I was like, oh my God, like this Venom has officially gotten very scary.
Yeah.
Like he was cool in the first one, but in this one, he's like menacing and malicious, you know?
Yeah. And really playing up the body horror of it too.
Yeah. Yeah, like for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. At this point, basically like the Venom symbiote has full control and pushes Harry back in. But when Venom tosses Spider-Man through the window of Oscorp's boardroom where a meeting is happening, Venom does begin to lash out at Norman. So there is something interesting that I think they had in mind that doesn't manifest quite enough. Like thematically, it is there. Thematically, we're picking up on it. But I do like the idea that if this is a Venom that is body horror and is kind of like killing the thing inside of it, which they don't explicitly say because it's a kid's cartoon, but I'm choosing to believe that's kind of what this Venom is based on the Ultimate Comics.
Mm-hmm.
It also, this version seems to be feeding off of Harry's anger. So I think they could have done a cool thing where like Harry doesn't have any control, but the Venom symbiote cannot ignore like what it's getting from its host, you know?
Yeah.
So like Harry's anger still comes out even if the Venom symbiote doesn't necessarily like fully get it. I think that's a cool idea. I don't know if they like fully hit the bullseye on that because it's like not necessarily nuanced enough. I think they like have to directly address Norman to get the point across quickly.
Yeah.
But I like that idea.
Yeah. In an episode with more time, they could have done more with it, but
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Norman asks, the moment is Norman asks the, you know, Venom what it wants. And the Venom symbiote says, you'll never know what I want. You never cared. So.
Yeah. I like the idea of it.
Yeah.
I like the idea of it. Well, before Venom can attack Norman, Spidey drop kicks him out of the building. They continue their battle for a bit on nearby rooftops and on the sides of other buildings and everything like that. And it fucking rules. Venom is like especially venomy in it.
Yes.
It's a really cool action sequence.
This enough would have been like, holy shit, they are doing cool inspired stuff with Venom in this cartoon. Because we've seen cool Venom stuff in other cartoons, right? Like we've seen how Spectacular decided to interpret like a pretty minimal design in cool ways. We've seen like obviously the very like classic or to us classic like 90s cartoon version of Venom. Like we've seen different cool Venom shit. I think this is like most reminiscent of what my memory would have told me Venom is supposed to be like on like the Capcom video games, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like this to me is like how kid me thought of Venom. because he's doing like he's got a Venom body, but he also is very liquidy when he needs to be. So like it's not just tendrils and it's not just like weird slime. It's like he does full like liquid, almost like thick tentacles, like through buildings and like smashing like club like tentacles almost. Mm-hmm. Like it's really fucking cool. And he like seemingly is not limited by size, which is helpful because then they just get to do cool shit.
Yeah, that is really yes, I like that a lot. Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself.
So that was already cool, but then they land on this rooftop that features this really weird, like, bug spray marketing, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Which isn't really that important. It's just, like, a notable location. Mm-hmm. What is notable is that this rooftop also has, like, a big electronic billboard, and it's one of the ones we've seen plenty of that just seems to blast Jameson's broadcast 24/7, I guess.
Sure.
So that's our backdrop, is this big electronic billboard. And they're on this rooftop, and Spider-Man uses like some sort of pipe to like basically like bat him, like smash Venom into some sort of electrical generator or something. And in addition to blacking out like a huge chunk of the city, it fucking shreds Venom with electricity in like this is the sequence. This is the coolest sequence of any show we've talked about. I fucking love it, and I'm begging you to make a gif of it.
Okay.
Because the whole city blacks out, so everything is black, and instead of just having like flashes of like electricity, they choose to represent this with like kind of like a burst of electricity and just a white outline of Venom. And so you have like bursts of, you get almost this weird like stroby, like psychedelic, almost like I hate to compare it to Dumbo, but I remember Dumbo having like weird outline drawings,
like the
you know,
pink elephants and stuff,
right? But yeah, not only do they have this cool effect, like just the drawings of Venom, like if you just freeze on them, like I put some of them in our document here. Yeah, like they're just so fucking cool. It's like if you took a black and blue crushed tie-dye shirt and screen printed like a white line drawing of Venom, but it was animated. It's so cool. The compositions are all so cool.
Yeah.
And it's so compelling. Like I watched it so many times. I was like floored. It's so fucking cool.
Yeah, I'm making
and they do this like cool wide shot where like you have Spider-Man on one side in the dark and Venom still white outline, still like weird, almost like tie-dye electricity on the other side and nothing else on the screen. It's so cool. Like, oh my God.
It's fucking, yeah, it is very fucking cool. I've made a note for myself to make a gif of what you're talking about too, but I feel like
it rips so hard and his design in these moments.
Yeah.
Perfection.
It's so good.
This
I love
the perfect Venom design.
I love the body proportions that they have of it and everything. Yeah. I'll post the gif and the screenshots you pulled too when we're posting these, because
just to stress the composition.
The composition of it, and just in the screenshots you can really tell just like the details and the way the Venom's drawn and everything. Like they're just it's like a lot of it like is cool fucking art that you would just hang on your wall anyway. Like it would make a cool
seriously
print on its own, honestly. Just the screenshot
it rips,
of it,
dude. Like, yeah, I really don't know. Like, I was pretty excited about that spectacular moment. Mm-hmm. Like, that pales in comparison to this. Like, that was just like a cool thing that I thought the animators did. This is like fucking art in animation. Like,
yeah, it's really good.
It's so cool. And they managed to do it with like pretty limited animation. It's not like they're doing like, it's not like they're adding frames for like more fluid and like animation. Like they probably actually cut them out to make it like more jarring, you know?
Probably so, yeah.
But it's just so cool. I'm obsessed with this, Derek.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
Oh, it's so
super
good.
Cool. It's super cool.
Oh my God. This is the moment where the episode went from like, okay, it's picking up, to like, holy shit. Like I nearly fell out of my chair. Anyway, it rules, and I'll stop saying it rules, but it rules.
I mean, it does. I agree with you. I'm so glad that it brought you so much joy. Oh, it's very cool.
I will watch it so many times. And when we have a gif of it, I will watch that gif so much. Oh, it's so good. Oh, so great. Well, okay, so the city blacked out. It didn't black out permanently. So when they do come back, it comes back on that wide shot, which I think is very cool. So they have this like blacked out wide shot, and then it brings you back into the actual environment. Everything's normal again. And so it's just a wide shot of the two of them with Venom sort of like being electrocuted with the backdrop of that big electronic billboard. Mm-hmm. Venom not defeated yet. So Spider-Man's like, okay, let's do this harder. So he grabs an even bigger bat and then, you know, smashes Venom into that electronic billboard. And this electrocutes Venom basically until all that's left is Harry underneath. Like it just, yeah. it zaps the shit out of that thing off of Harry's body. yeah. And it is brutal.
Yeah, all of this is a good case for having changed Venom's weakness to electricity instead of like fire and sonics, because
I'm so sold.
Yeah, like you can do cool stuff with fire and sonics, and they have, but there is something really particular and really fucking rad about the look of electricity and the way that you can stylize electricity and being electrocuted.
Yeah.
Especially when you're doing it to a creature like Venom that, you know, is very goopy and liquidy and stuff that is going to look extra cool when it's being fried and electrocuted and in pain and stuff. Like all of those things just sort of combine into a really cool visual that you only get with that change in the Venom mythos.
You said the last time we talked about Venom in this series that it clearly brings something out of animators.
Yeah.
And there is just simply not a better case for it than I think this and what we saw in that last episode. Like the character just inspires people to do wild shit.
Yeah. It's just, there's not many things like Venom really that exist, and you can just do such cool stuff with it.
Yeah. Fucking rules.
Uh-huh.
Ugh. Ugh. It's just, please take over.
So, The cool visuals are gone now because Venom's gone. Harry comes to, and he's like, well, I guess I learned that I can't actually control the Venom symbiote, it seems.
Oops.
Oopsie. It actually does seem like he genuinely learned his lesson, because he takes the watch off, smashes it, and like he seems to be on very good terms with Spider-Man now, like appreciating him. He's like, hey, Spider-Man, thank you for helping me. I'm Harry Osborn. It actually was cool working with you. Like this is, you know, the animosity and jealousy that Harry has had. That's classic Harry Osborn. It's sort of like, okay, you proved yourself to me. You're a cool dude. I'm the one who made the mistake here, and I see it, which is like growth, man. Like never would have expected that from a Harry Osborn of all people.
My only concern though, Derek, is that this happens so fast that it's like, okay, so what do you do with Harry now?
Well, backsliding probably. I mean, I don't know. Especially what given else could you do, you know?
Yeah.
Peter almost introduces himself back as Peter, which would be a fair thing to do to your best friend after you went through this and maybe a trauma bond a little bit. But he remembers his cutaways from earlier about everyone's going to laugh at him and all his family's going to be attacked by supervillains and secret identities are important. So he's like, oh no, I sneezed. Okay, bye. And then dips out.
I don't think I like the return to the same cutaway. Like, I understand it for the story. And I don't mind him being reminded of those things he thought about earlier in the episode. Normally, I think it's the kind of thing that I would consider kind of poetic in an episode. But I think for some reason, it doesn't work for cutaways. I think cutaways need to stand alone.
Well, I think...
Or it needs to be like the very, very quick rule of 3-1 with... I know you're not high on the jetpack one, but I do think it at least works simply because they're employing that very specific tactic.
I think if the original cutaway was a lot funnier and then they revisit it in a dramatic way at the end of the episode.
Oh, like they rework it. Yeah.
I think that's a really cool thing to do with it that they could have done. But as it stands, like it's a cutaway that wasn't like it was fine, but it wasn't like super funny to begin with. And then they don't revisit it in a particularly dramatic way, even though this moment is kind of a dramatic
moment. Yeah, that's weird. That's exactly it. I think you landed on exactly why this doesn't work for me, because it's like a sincere moment and they cut away to something that they meant to be like silly and fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I mean, that's a thing that you run into with this show, I think, sometimes is like, you know, we keep bringing up that fucking push-pull, but like I think part of it too is like this might not even be between like executives and writers or whatever. This might just be within the creation of the show and within the writers' room and stuff, is like, you do want this to be a comedy show, but you do want to have moments of pathos sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of hard to balance it if you do feel like you have to kind of cut into, like literally cut into emotional moments to always have your moments of comedy. You don't want your show to get too dark, which I understand. Like that's an issue that actual comedies run into. Like there are plenty of Simpsons episodes you could criticize as like wanting to cut into the sweetness sometimes. And sometimes maybe it's a little too overly sweet and maybe they should have had a joke and seems a little too saccharine. Sometimes it's a thing where it's sort of like, this could have been a genuine emotional moment and you felt like you had to shoehorn a joke in. Like it's a very careful balance. That's what makes writing comedy hard. I just think it's even harder in a show like this, where Spider-Man is a naturally dramatic character in an action franchise, you know, that typically is very actiony. So it's already having to make adjustments to be a more comedy centered show. So like, how do you balance your serious stories with your cutaway humor? That's already hard to do when you are a 100% comedy show with no drama in it. You know, I don't envy them for trying to make that work.
Oh, for sure.
But this is definitely a moment where it doesn't. It's not like, it's not the worst thing ever, especially in this episode, but
no, it's just a thing that I think in most other circumstances, and I'm sure a big piece of it is tone, would have worked really well for me, but because of how the show is executed, did not work well. I think that's why it stood out to me, you know?
Yeah. And this is such a classic thing, right? Peter dealing with secret identities and stuff. Like, that's such a classic Spider-Man thing that, like, you know what to expect from there. So it almost takes you out of it a little bit when you have a cutaway in the middle of something that you've read 1,000 times, you know?
Yeah, I actually think that this, basically the rest of this episode, like I'm just, well, most of the rest of this episode, I'm just like not into from this point forward. No, like it really is. I said it was like the last 5 to 7 minutes. It's actually like the 5 minutes before the end of the episode.
Like kind of drags. And again, I feel like there's stuff at the end of this that you could have cut.
Not even just that you could cut. It just is in a weird order. And like some of it doesn't need to be there if you got rid of all the dumb shit from the start of the episode too.
You've got a perfect last final wham shot of this episode that then they have another scene after it that sucks.
This show, and I think, was it 2017 that was guilty of doing this a bunch too?
2017 was real bad about putting like weird little bows on the end of an episode that didn't, extra scenes that don't need to be there after a fucking perfect ending.
I do think 2017 probably had a higher concentration of it than this one does so far, if this one stays on track. I think there's been two examples where it was like really egregious in this series.
Yeah, but this show isn't
really
as dramatic.
Egregious.
This show isn't as dramatic as 2017, though. 2017 is going to occasionally have dark endings. This show just won't in, at least in this first season, because most of the episodes are comedic, so they can end on a joke and fits the tone of the episode.
But like but that's why you have particular episodes, scenarios, characters, whatever, that are your exception, so that they hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this could have been one.
This could have been one for sure. So here's what we have left in this episode. We go back to Otto's lab, right? Otto reviews footage. This actually, okay, I lied. I do like this. This is compelling to me. So Otto reviews footage of Venom's fight with Spider-Man all the way through Venom being electrocuted off of Harry. So he knows now that Harry was hosting Venom. And he says it's very interesting, right? He does not let Norman know this, because when Norman walks in the room, he switches that footage off. We do not see Otto in this episode ever tell Norman that Harry was Venom. So that is, there is something interesting with this Otto. I would like to know more, but I have been asking for more, and I do think we have been getting some bits and pieces. And if this is the direction they're going to go in, I could see myself being pleased. Yeah, with at least the story they're telling.
Attempts to usurp Norman.
Power struggle. Yeah, exactly. You know?
I wish it wasn't as slow burn as it is, but it does at least feel like it's leading to something. And I will say, a lot of other cases where Otto and Norman are in the episode, it never feels like it's leading to something. It just feels like another instance of the villains plotting in the background. This at least does feel like This is set up and movement towards something with them.
Right. And there is, I do have to admit that like some of this is some of the discussion we talked about that is sort of headcanon for me, which is like the stuff we've seen in the episodes is Otto wanting to blow up the school despite Harry being there and right. saying this to Norman. And then this moment, and then a little bit of headcanon-y stuff in between that I think informs their potential relationship that we have not been, has not been confirmed on screen, but I would like to think maybe I'm picking up on something, you know, that could carry forward. That's my hope, right?
I would hope so.
So that is compelling to me. Norman then, because he doesn't know that Harry is Venom, continues to fanboy over having seen Venom up close, just sort of like unabashed, sort of like glee at having seen Venom. And then demands that Otto get him Venom. He's like, it was cool and I want it. That is the end of what we see in this episode of Otto and Norman. So we just got a little bit at the beginning and a little bit at the end.
Yes. Yes. part one of stuff that doesn't need to be here.
This is what I hate.
Yeah. We cut to the helicarrier where Spider-Man's recounting his battle with Venom to Nick Fury, but leaves out any details about Harry Osborn, which makes sense. So
it makes sense, but it doesn't move anything.
It doesn't need,
like, we already knew he wouldn't tell him.
And it's also like, I don't need every single scene to like be absolutely necessary and required or whatever. If something is interesting is happening or
no, for sure.
But nothing. This is just rehashing the conversation they already had earlier in the episode. And it's not even in a way that like closes a loop. It's just like that last scene, Spider-Man talked to Nick Fury and Nick Fury was like, you know more about Venom than you're telling me. And Spider-Man's like, I'm not going to tell you. And then this scene, they're talking and Nick Fury's like, you know more about Venom than you're telling me. And Spider-Man's like, I'm not going to tell you. It's like the exact same thing.
Right.
And there's
and
no
in
change.
A transformed way, right? It's not yeah. like Spider-Man. It's not like that time Spider-Man was being like cagey and this time Spider-Man is like putting his foot down.
No.
Like that would have been compelling. That would have not necessarily been necessary, but would have been interesting, right?
Yeah.
But that's not even what's happening here.
Yeah. And then there's more S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, but wait, we're not going to go to that. We're going to hold that off for the hilarious end to this episode and go to another scene that would have made a perfect end of this episode.
Perfect ending!
Perfect ending. It was weird that it didn't cut to credits.
This should like, be the felt, only way you end Venom episodes.
It fucking genuinely felt so weird that it did not go to credits after this, because we just cut to Harry's bedroom. And he's sleeping, and then he's suddenly awoken when a bit of the Venom symbiote creeps out of his ear. Ew, 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 ew. No, I can't. I hate it so much.
It's gross. And what's perfect about it, Derek, is that we see the Venom symbiote bit creep out of his ear, and then Harry wakes up, which is perfect because it could mean two different things. It could mean that that's literally still living in his body, which is almost certainly what it is. 99.9% that's what it is. But I like the way that they construct that scene, because specifically him waking up is sort of like, it could be the 0.1% is that it could just be that Harry is now haunted by the fact that he was, you know, taken over by the Venom symbiote. So now he has nightmares. Now he has, you know, all this trauma from it. Like, that's sure. a thing that they could explore as well. Yeah. Like, that's the perfect way to end the episode. You have questions. You're not going to probably know until, you know, however many episodes later what the actual story is there. But it's, like, fun to think about. Mm-hmm. And it's cool and it's scary and it's gross.
You know, Venom's always on the table to be potentially deployed at a later date.
Right, and it could or could not be Harry. It could be Harry, because that's the case. It could not be Harry, and it deeply affects Harry. You know, like, it would have been so perfect.
Yeah, instead, we go back to S.H.I.E.L.D., which where we were just... I know what you're saying about...
That threw me off so hard.
Yeah, it's so fucking weird. I know what you're saying about like the order of scenes, because we were just at S.H.I.E.L.D. We
Why
cut away to
happen?
The great ending, and then it goes back to S.H.I.E.L.D. again.
This is bizarre.
And it's only for like the last like 20 or 30 seconds anyway, because it's like... it's like, why would we have a good ending? No, we have to have Spider-Man showing up at S.H.I.E.L.D. and, oh no, all of his teammates caught the flu because he showed up with the flu and they're mad at him and they're all sneezing everywhere and they're sneezing on him and they're chasing him with their sneezy snot noses because we couldn't leave an episode without having more mucus all over the lens.
And look, how much harder would the Harry ending have hit if this came right before it?
Yeah, it's a
like,
funny,
it
silly little
so
ending.
Much better.
It would have been like, oh, that feels like the ending, but wait, there's like a postscript here, and it's this horrible thing. Like, oh shit, the story's not over.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to Harry? Cut to credits. It would be great. Like, It can be a comedy show and still have that ending because there is still drama in this comedy show.
I know. It made me so mad. It's so annoying to me because there is this like 5 minutes of this episode that is just so good. And there's this like piece of the episode, which is sort of the sort of fall of Harry Osborn and rise of Venom. That's really interesting too. And I just, you know, I guess my concern is that like, because of the comedy that is in this episode, my concern is that it wasn't written with much of that and it was injected after the fact. We'll never know, but like, that's my worry, is that there was in fact a good episode here and they had to rewrite it to fit the tone of the show.
God, I think that's entirely possible.
I think it's very possible, which is what makes it so frustrating. I mean, and because we'll never know, like, all I can ever do is like wonder, and it's always going to be a possibility on the table.
I mean, it's still, it could, Man of Action has written episodes that we've really liked and that we, and
for sure,
also written this one. So like, I think it's entirely likely that this is, I think it's entirely likely that our conspiracy theory is correct. And this wasn't the episode that they wanted to write. And it had to be turned into something worse.
You know, unfortunately, like, the reality is it's entirely possible that there was compromising, right? Like, we really want to do this episode and we really want to do it our way. And so then we give up a little bit of freedom over this thing over here. Like, I would not at all be surprised if that's how some of it went, right? I have no idea. And that's probably the thing they're never going to actually, like, admit to being the case until forever from now, if at all. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case. I think this episode following the last episode, I don't know in what order these were produced. I have no idea, but I do. There's a part of me that thinks about the world where a better version of this episode follows up Mary Jane's episode, the found footage one, and worries that they just didn't want 2 weeks of like serious, sincere episodes.
Yeah. Entirely possible. I believe it. I believe it. I think that's, I feel like that's very, very plausible.
Blah.
Don't like it. That sucks.
Well, let me show you how I feel about that with our first face of the episode. And honestly, you know, I think if it weren't for the fact that we specifically keep our eyes out for like ridiculous faces, and if it weren't for the fact that this show genuinely does make me laugh with the way that it draws goofy faces, I would hate this because it plays into the sick, goofy sort of boogeriness of it all.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the fact that I like their creative visual humor sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, this would drive me nuts. But I don't think a face has ever like begged to be the face of the episode more than when Spider-Man slams into the window of, I think it's Norman's?
Yeah,
Oscorp, the Oscorp boardroom. Mm-hmm. It's just so funny because like his body as Spider-Man is completely normal, but the face that they drew is just heinous.
It's so disgusting. They give him an open mouth and teeth. Really grotesque, uneven, crooked teeth. They have
with like
eyes,
a loose, floppy mouth.
Yeah, and his eyes are bulging out with pupils. It like he almost looks like he almost has the head of like a mantis.
Oh my God, you're so right. Yeah. Oh, it's so it's
so grotesque.
It's bizarre. It's wrong in like every way, which is I think why I appreciate it.
His left hand isn't the wrong direction, is it? No, it's actually, that's right, actually. Wait, yeah, no, it's the correct way. Never mind. I felt like his arm is twisted the wrong way. It's like the back of his hand is pressed against the glass.
It would have to be the back of his hand.
That's what makes it look sort of off, but that's all it is, the back
but
of
are
his
the
hand.
Back of, are the backs of his hands? Yeah, because his entire glove is webbed. Okay, yeah.
No, so that's fine, but it's still, either way, it's a gross.
It's unsettling.
Yeah. Yeah.
His neck is also at this wild angle.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It really is. Honestly, if it just didn't have the weird like slobber booger situation like this, I could love this.
It's not, I mean, the slobber thing is kind of subtle. It's not like a,
it's pretty subtle.
It. Yeah. It's not as bad as it could have been. And it's not colored green. So that helps.
It does. I really do like that. I've said this about plenty of things. Like I can understand like why people would hate this. And if it's not for you, it's just not for you. But I delight in like goofy, silly, stupid faces most of the time.
Me
so
too.
This shit is my
it's
shit.
Fun. It's fun. I know you deleted it, but I saw you had it for a hot second. So I still want to call it out and I'm still post it. Cause I liked the face, where Spider-Man is like, like basically holding open Venom's mouth. Yeah. Essentially. It's yeah. really funny.
It's really goofy. Yeah. He's just sort of like, I think he's swinging or he's like piggybacking on Venom's back because he ran out of web fluid, which wasn't a big enough deal, by the way. We didn't really talk about that. Like, he didn't need to lose his web fluid.
Happened. I've totally right. Cause
it never matters. It never matters to the actual plot. It only matters to him falling when Dragon Man attacks him.
That feels like a rewrite thing. Like that felt like that mattered. And then it mattered less when they had to like redo stuff and add more things in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the most accurate thing is like this episode's just messy. Like there are episodes of the show that I don't necessarily love, but I don't think I typically dislike an episode of the show because it's like messy. It's because it's like either underwhelming or they don't do justice to something or like there's a weird, you know, story beat or something. But this episode, I think, is maybe the first one we've encountered that just feels like a mess. Like things were changed and not cleaned up or like things don't necessarily set up properly or pay off properly. Like it just it's uncharacteristically messy.
Yeah, and it does. I mean, it also makes sense for if it's a Venom episode, I feel like the powers that be are going to be paying more attention because they know Venom episodes.
It's a good call.
Just always get more attention and potentially more ratings and are fan favorite things. So I can see how they kind of shoot
versus
themselves.
The one where they were like, "We're going to do an episode about Mary Jane's camera."
Right, right. I think that like they're not paying as much attention to that, but it's like, oh, Venom. Oh, I want to have a pass at this script. Actually, yeah. You know, damn. Like I absolutely because that's I mean that's the fucking Spider-Man 3 story. Right, like it's like they Venom is like a thing that the executives love to fucking have their dirty little hands in when it comes up. So
get your dirty little hands out of here.
Yeah. Well, at least we got your cool fucking electric Venom sequence out of it, dude.
It's so cool. And if people don't validate me, I'm gonna be mad. Actually, I won't. I'll just watch it more. I do genuinely want, like, I don't know how like clear it would read, but I want like a black and blue tie-dye shirt with this screen print, like one of these frame screen print, probably the second one where he's sort of like reeling backward, you know. I want this on a shirt. It would rule.
That would be really, oh man, that would be, it would be a challenge, I think, to make that work, but it would be really cool if it is able to be made to work.
Mm-hmm. I think you'd have to like crush it and then like maybe dye the area where the core of Venom is so that it almost looks like the tie-dye is electricity coming off of him, you know?
Right. Oh God, that seems so challenging.
I know.
That would be
but
so
then you'd crazy. At least get the detail of like the suit a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It just, it's just cool. I like it a lot.
For sure.
Bravo. Whoever's idea that was, whoever storyboarded that, like you are my God now.
Fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, if you would like for us to be your gods, a good place to start is over on Patreon.
Hell yeah.
At patreon.com/wallopingwebsnappers, where you can get over 100 more episodes of us, your new gods, talking about all sorts of things. And check out our Discord. There should be a link in the show notes. It's a neat place to be. Of course, you can find us being neat all over the place. Derek, where can people find you?
Sure, you can find me on Twitter at Derek B. Gale. You can also find my other podcast, Gimmicks, which looks at the high-concept, experimental, structure-breaking, gimmicky episodes of television with a different show and a different guest every other Monday. Of course, find it anywhere you get your podcasts. And also give it a follow on Twitter and Instagram at GimmicksPod. How about you, Doug?
You can find me on Twitter at IckyBooley, IckyBooley. You can also listen to me on a podcast called Novel Gaming that I do with my friend Katie, where we catch up on all the books, video games, and other pop culture we've been consuming lately. And if you like Pokemon, check out my podcast, Victory Road, here on the 4Eyed Radio Network. Also, check out this monthly podcast that Derek and I did called Falling with Style, an ongoing Pixar movie marathon, where we watched every Pixar film chronologically and then did a nice little retrospective at the end to reflect on 26 films in a row. All those episodes are out. including that retrospective, and you can get it wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find them on our website at wallopingwebsnappers.com, which has a full archive of all the stuff Derek and I do together, including this podcast, Walloping Web Snappers. It's neat because you can organize the episodes by series if you only want to listen to the stuff from one particular show, or you can just listen to everything chronologically as we release them. So it's very handy in that sense. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Walloping Web Pod, or email us at wallopingwebsnapperspodcast@gmail.com. Of course, please rate, review, and subscribe on all podcast platforms. If you like what we're doing here, somebody else will too, and they just don't know about us yet. Next week, Spider-Man meets Thor on a field trip in an episode aptly titled Field Trip.
See y'all in the field. Oh, I thought I had something
as
clever.
Trip.
Yeah. Let's go tripping in the field. Bye.
Hey, bye.